And it's my pleasure to introduce our next speaker at the AHSN Network Mini Theatre, and it's Faye Edwards, who's the National Programme Manager for Atrial Fibrillation.
Thanks, Bernard. Afternoon, everyone. Hopefully we will gather a bit more of a crowd. I did think that following Tony would be challenging, so we'll crack on and hopefully more people will join us in time. So welcome everyone, I hope you've enjoyed Expo. It's been a good couple of days, as I've seen on Twitter, having arrived this morning, but looks like everyone's feeling exhausted now. So my name's Faye Edwards. I am the Programme Manager for Atrial Fibrillation on behalf of the AHSN Network. Atrial Fibrillation is one of our national programmes, one of our seven national programmes that all 15 AHSNs are actively involved in and have been working on since 2016. So I'm here to tell you a little bit more about the programme and why atrial fibrillation in particular and what we've achieved over the past few years. So atrial fibrillation is a common cardiac arrhythmia, so it's an irregular heart rhythm, and it's the most common irregular heart rhythm that occurs. It's a major risk factor for stroke and actually is the cause of 1 in 5 strokes. It's an increased risk of AF in people that are over the age of 65 or have other long-term conditions. And sadly, AF is often asymptomatic. So it's one of these conditions that people don't know they have. It's like a ticking time bomb, and strokes are very often the first time, catastrophic stroke is very often the first time that somebody knew that they had the condition. Strokes caused by AF are more likely to be fatal, and if they aren't fatal, they're more likely to leave you with severe disability. Anticoagulation therapy will reduce your risk, however, if you have atrial fibrillation by 2/3. So it's very important that if we manage to detect people that have AF and we protect them with anticoagulation therapy. So data suggests that across the UK or across England, there's 300,000 people with undiagnosed AF, and around 40% of those will be asymptomatic, so they won't know that they have atrial fibrillation necessarily unless they have been tested, had their pulse tested, or had an ECG. Diagnosing AF can be challenging because generally if you're out there testing people in the general population, you'll find AF in about 1 in 100 people. If you target your case finding to people, as I've mentioned, over the age of 65 or those with long-term conditions, then that drops to about 1 in 70. However, you know, it's still difficult, so we still need to make sure that we actively go out and find people. Paroxysmal AF, so that's intermittent AF, is likely to go undetected and untreated, and it will increase the risk of stroke. So the costs of an AF-related stroke. Obviously, if you have a devastating stroke, it's pretty horrendous for you and your family. And sadly, around 25% of people that have atrial fibrillation, this is a devastating stroke, is the first time they knew they had the condition. So the direct medical costs for patients with undiagnosed AF will be higher for those without the similarly matched patients with AF. So it is, again, very important that we go out and find these people. Around £46,000 is the estimated cost of a stroke or an AF-related stroke to the NHS and social care system across the first 5 years. And obviously, as I said, AF strokes have an enormous personal cost for both families and the patients themselves. So why, you know, if that isn't enough evidence really as to why AHSN's focused on AF, then I'll take you through some of the figures. So back in 2015-16, this is when the programme first went national. So some AHSNs had been working on atrial fibrillation before this time. But we think that the prevalence of AF in England is around 1.4 million. And at that time, the GP registered population of people with AF was just under 100,000. All right, so we'd found 100,000 people. But that left over 400,000 people on GP registers with potential undiagnosed AF, people that we needed to go and find. Okay. So of the people that we knew about with atrial fibrillation at that time, nearly 180,000 of them weren't receiving anticoagulation therapy. Now, you remember I've said anticoagulation therapy will reduce their risk of stroke by 2/3. So these are people that we know had AF and we weren't treating them for whatever reason. So this is something that we really needed to address. And at the time, there were just over 16,500 strokes in the UK caused by atrial fibrillation. And of those, almost half of them were in people that were had known AF that weren't being treated. So again, something that we really, really had to focus on. And like I've said, the costs are huge to the NHS and social care. So over the first 5 years, estimated at around £764 million. So if you think about the mission of AHSNs to spread and adopt, improve people's lives and save money, then AF was absolutely all of those. So our approach to AF, since 2016, all 15 AHSNs have been working together on a number of projects to improve AF detection, protection and perfection, as we like to call it, AF detect, protect and perfect. The programme is overseen by a steering group comprising of AHSN chief officers, clinicians and the AF team, which includes myself and a pharmacist, Helen Williams. We have a well-established community of practice, or community of learning, as we call it, where all 15 AHSNs come together on a regular basis to share ideas and learn from each other, where they can then take those ideas out into their own local communities. We're all working to spread and adopt these resources that we've developed in-house and that have been developed by other people. So the aims of the national programme. So when this programme winds down in March 2020, we hope to have had detected 85% of the inspected prevalence. So of those 1.4 million people that we think have AF, we want to find 85% of them. And we want to reduce the variation within the anticoagulation rates across the country. So initially, when this programme started, our target was to have 84% of people with known atrial fibrillation being treated with anticoagulation. Now, we've already achieved that, looking at the QOF figures from last year, and we're really, really proud of that. So, you know, we can see that there we huge, huge shifts are happening in primary care with anticoagulation prescribing. So what we are doing now in the remainder of our programme is working with those CCGs that are below the 84% to try and encourage them up so we can reduce that variation across the board. So as I've said, the stages of an AF pathway and the opportunities for improvement within that, we base them around detect, protect and perfect. So, you know, in simple terms, we need to find more people, we need to treat more people, and then we need to improve their treatment. We need to make sure we support them with adherence to their oral anticoagulation therapies. We need to make sure that they can self-manage and self-monitor their condition. So if there's somebody taking warfarin and they have to come in and have their bloods tested every few weeks, we want to make sure that if they need, they can do that at home themselves if they are able to. And we want to make sure that our commissioners out there know how they can commission the most, the best possible service they can around anticoagulation and streamline these pathways. So where we normally start as an AHSN, we'll go out, we'll talk to the CCGs, and it's very important that they understand their local data. So we use QOF data, SNAP data, the Stroke Sentinel National Audit Programme data, and NCVIN data to look at what the opportunities in your area. So if you're a CCG and you know that you've got high levels of AF stroke, well, what's going on? Is it that you haven't found the people that you think you should have found? Do you need to go and detect more? Or is it actually that you're not initiating enough people on anticoagulation? So this the very simple infographics that are there on the right hand side, we develop those for each of our areas to help people understand where to target their efforts. Now on the left hand side, there's the atrial fibrillation budget impact model. Now this is housed on the Imperial College Health Partners website, and I would advise you to go and have a look. What this takes you through is your opportunities within your area, so your summary of opportunities within AF, and it will tell you what your gaps are in detection, protection, and it will take you through what it will cost you over year one, year two and three, all right, to actually be able to address that problem and start to treat those patients. That we know the cost of anticoagulation is high in some instances, but when you counteract that with the cost of an AF-related stroke, actually, lots of this stuff, we, you know, 9 times out of 10, this will pay for itself within 2, maybe 2-3 years. So as I've said, there's plenty of resources out there that have been developed by the AHSNs or that we've worked in local partnership with our NHS and charity organisations to develop around AF. So the first one I'm taking you through, the AF business case model, the AF toolkit, which is was a collaboration of the three London AHSNs, gives again lots and lots of resources, takes you through how to improve the pathway for AF. So I'll take you through some of these examples now. So over the last 18 months, 2 years or so, the AHSNs have been known for a detection device project. We were funded to the tune of £500,000 by NHS England to understand the barriers to uptake and spread and adoption of this type of technology in a variety of different clinical settings. So across our 15 AHSNs, we distributed just over 6,000 different types of device. You can see them there on the screen, and some here at the stand today. One of those is Cardia Alive Core. They're based at the front. Do go and have a look at those guys. Opportunistic case finding in community settings. So we wanted to put these into settings where people, if you think back to your typical person with AF, they're over the age of 65. They might have another long-term condition. We wanted to put them in settings where they might pitch up. So not give these to busy GPs per se, but put these in community settings. So give them to pharmacists. You've just heard earlier this week, NHS England have announced that pharmacists will be doing heart rhythm checks. This is exactly the sort of work that they'll be doing. So we put these in a huge variety of centres, mental health centres, podiatry, physio, optometry. We put them everywhere. And we've just produced an evaluation around how that project has gone. We had to produce accompanying guidance around clinical governance and information governance, which was really useful. And we registered all of the data around that so we could track what was happening to all of these devices and how often they were being used. So the mobile devices, as I said, went to a variety of different settings, and the different devices were more beneficial in different settings. So at the bottom there, you'll see the fire safe and well checks. They took a device called, escapes me, it looks, they took this one. Remind me, Dom. My Diagnostic, there we go. That's a momentary lapse. They took My Diagnostic, which was fabulous, because their staff could go out there as they went and checked the smoke alarms in elderly people's houses. They could get them to hold on to the My Diagnostic for 30 seconds to tell them whether they had possible atrial fibrillation or not, and to encourage them to go and see their GP. So another example of some of the work that AHSNs have been doing around PROTECT, so this is increasing the number of people on anticoagulation, is the AF virtual clinic model. So this was established in South London AHSN, running Lambeth and Southwark CCGs. And this is using a specialist pharmacy seal, so anticoagulation specialist, bringing that person out of secondary care, putting them into primary care to upskill the GPs who are doing the prescribing, to understand what's going on in primary care so that they can offer support and advice and encourage those people's, those GPs to feel more confident next time they're prescribing. So what happens is, in every GP practice, the number of patients that have a known diagnosis of AF but are not receiving anticoagulation are identified. And then the specialist in anticoagulation, usually the pharmacist, will sit down with the GP and discuss each of those patients in a multidisciplinary clinic type approach. And they'll develop action plans and management plans for the patients. The GP will then implement that plan and then report the outcomes. Now, this has been so well received across South London, in Lambeth and Southwark particularly, that it was referenced in the NHS long-term plan, and it's now being funded by NHS England in 23 CCGs across the country. So we're really proud that this was something that established in an AHSN, and we've been able to recognize, NHS England have recognized its potential, and have we're working with them to roll that out. So somewhere in your area, you will have this model going on. So like I've said, the impact of virtual clinics in these areas, across Lambeth and Southwark, this project took place in October 15 to December 2016. Just over 1,500 patients were reviewed. And you can see the results there, that in Lambeth, nearly 600 additional patients were anticoagulated. And this is just by sitting down, reviewing these caseloads, encouraging these GPs to prescribe more. And in Southwark, that was over 700 additional patients. So you can can see the number of strokes that have been potentially avoided in these areas, 15% reduction of stroke, which is great for the patients and great for savings in the NHS. So this is now being delivered in other areas across the region, and in South London, over 3,000 people have now been reviewed. So just moving on to perfect, then, you know, you think you've done the legwork, you've found people with AF, you've got them onto anticoagulation. So why would you perfect that medication? Well, anticoagulation is a high-risk medicine. It is implicated in quite a high proportion of medical-related admissions and incidents. And then, like I've said, when it's taken appropriately, it will reduce that person's risk of having a stroke by two-thirds. But if somebody is prescribed anticoagulation and it's poorly managed, or they're not adherent to that medication, you know, they're not taking it as prescribed, then there are potential catastrophic consequences, and it could potentially be worse than not prescribing any medication at all. We know that adherence to long-term medicines is poor, not just in AF, but across the board. And we need to make sure that we can support services to identify the challenges that they have in getting patients to adhere to their medications, and thinking innovatively about how they can support patients to manage better. This is a document I'll just reference here. This is in the Pan London Toolkit. Do go and have a look. If you're a commissioner, or if you're working in anticoagulation services at all, I urge you to have a look at this. This document will help you to benchmark your current service provision. It'll give you loads of ideas of things that you should be giving patients to support. So can they manage on warfarin by themselves? Can they manage their INRs? And can they make sure that they have access to the right support through that? And really, just to drive the point home, this is a study that was carried out in Charing Cross Hospital a couple of years ago around patients that we knew about had AF, and we knew that we'd anticoagulated them, but they still went on to have a stroke. Of the patients that went on to have a stroke, so 83% of them had inadequate anticoagulation control prior to their stroke. Had they have been supported better to manage their stroke? So we'd done the hard work, we'd found them, we'd got them onto the anticoagulation, but they still went on and had a stroke, which could have been avoided had they have been taking their medication as prescribed, had they have been supported. So just to take you back to this slide and look at the figures as to where we are now. So I showed you these figures as we were in 2015-16. So our expected prevalence of AF in England remains the same. PHE haven't revised that data as yet, but it's likely to go up when they do revise it. But as you can see, we have found loads more people with AF. So in 2017-18, we had 1.1 million or just over on GP-registered population with AF. So that's fantastic that actually we made sure that 84% of them were anticoagulated, so another 30,000 people were on anticoagulation. And the latest data just out from SNAP, so the stroke audit, tells us that of the 16,163 strokes that there were in the last 12 months caused by atrial fibrillation, only 40%, or just under 40%, 38% of those were not anticoagulated. So if I take you back to what it was in 2015-16, that's a huge improvement. That, you know, the message is getting through. More people are being anticoagulated, so that's fantastic. And the overall numbers of strokes are dropping as well, which is great news. So really, just in summary then, to sort of thinking, if you're thinking about AF detection and management, I would urge you to find more. So go out and find your pulse checks, spread your devices, and then get those referral pathways sorted to 12 lead ECGs to confirm the diagnosis. If you're thinking about protecting more, this is about initiating more anticoagulation therapy. So education and education of your primary care workforce, encouraging people to know that, you know, it is safe to anticoagulate most people that they think wouldn't be. And then the AF, using the AF virtual clinic model. And then again, around perfect, just once we manage to do that hard work and get people onto anticoagulation, then encouraging patients to adhere to that medication through self-testing and self-monitoring. So there's my details. Thank you for listening, and good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Faye. And if you'd like to have a chat with Faye and ask any more questions about what you've heard, or make a connection, you'll be hanging around for a little bit longer on the stand, won't you? Thank you very much.